Now, besides speaking of the act of going for refuge as central, I also, in the course of the past so many years, have developed my thinking with regard to the different levels of going for refuge. And in a sense, this particular formulation is a contribution of my own, even though it does fit in with traditional Buddhist thought. I distinguish four, or sometimes I distinguish five different levels of going for refuge. And this is very, very important for us to understand. I speak of cultural going for refuge. I speak of ethnic going for refuge. I speak of effective going for refuge. I speak of real going for refuge. And, well, another one which perhaps I don't need to mention this evening, one which goes even further. I haven't always distinguished between cultural going for refuge and ethnic going for refuge, but this evening I want to make that distinction, or at least make it clearer. When I speak of cultural going for refuge, I mean the going for refuge of someone who is born in a Buddhist country, who considers himself or herself a Buddhist, and perhaps repeats Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Sanghang Saranang Gacchami, but simply accepting it as part of their culture, without it having for them any spiritual significance, perhaps, at all. I speak of that as a merely cultural going for refuge. And then there's ethnic going for refuge. By ethnic going for refuge, I mean the going for refuge of someone who is born in a Buddhist country, in the midst of Buddhist culture, and does, yes, also perhaps, repeat the refuges and perhaps the precepts, but not with very much understanding of what they really represent. Perhaps there's just a glimmer of it, perhaps expressed in the form of devotion, making offerings to the Buddha, and so on, but not going very far, and certainly not stepping outside the bounds of their own indigenous Buddhist culture. This I speak of as ethnic going for refuge. It represents a somewhat higher stage or higher level than the purely cultural going for refuge. And then I speak of effective going for refuge. And of course, as you know... Provisional going for refuge. Yes, there's another one. I'd forgotten I'd made that distinction at some point. Yes, provisional. Provisional is when you're, as it were, trying things out. You're not quite sure. You're making some sort of tentative steps in the direction of going for refuge. Very often this is the going for refuge of at least some mitras, we might say, though obviously I don't want to generalize here. And then, of course, after that, there is the effective going for refuge of someone who has the three jewels quite clearly in view, who does regard the Buddha as the highest spiritual ideal, or Buddhahood as the highest spiritual ideal, who does want to practice the Dharma, who does accept the teachings embodied in the Dharma, and who does also have regard for those members of the Sangha, those followers of the path, more advanced than himself or herself. So such a person is said to be effectively going for refuge. And of course, when you effectively go for refuge, or when it is seen or recognized that you are effectively going for refuge, or have been effectively going for refuge for perhaps a few months, perhaps for a few years, well then, within the FWBO, within the Western Buddhist Order, you are considered to be ready for ordination. Ordination, therefore, represents the formalization and recognition within the movement of the fact that you are effectively going for refuge. So this is an extremely important step, an extremely important point. In fact, you could almost say that our whole movement revolves around this. If there were no people effectively going for refuge, if there are no more people coming forward and effectively going for refuge, well, the order and the movement will gradually die out. Everything depends upon that. So it is of extreme importance, not just for the individual, but for the movement as a whole, that there should be a continuity of effective going for refuge, that more and more people should be taking that step, effectively going for refuge. And after that, of course, the real going for refuge, which comes about when your effective going for refuge becomes irreversible. There are various technical, traditional ways of describing that. I won't go into those this evening. Because even though you may be effectively going for refuge, it isn't easy. I mean, everybody knows that. Provisional going for refuge isn't easy. Effective going for refuge, you know, isn't easy. And you can, perhaps, unfortunately, sometimes, backslide. And you have to pick yourself up and, you know, start all over again. But real going for refuge is that going for refuge which is so firmly established, where you have so much insight into the true nature of things, at least a measure of insight, that you just can't fall back, that you can't possibly renounce the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha. You can't possibly give up your quest for enlightenment. You can't possibly give up your effort to practice the 10 precepts. You then become irreversible from full enlightenment. Your going for refuge is real. So it's very important not only to understand the centrality of the act of going for refuge, but also to understand that there are these different levels of going for refuge. And one should try to ascend from one level, you know, to another. Whether it's from cultural to ethnic, or ethnic to provisional, or provisional to effective, or effective to real. There should be that constant upward movement, or, as we might also say, that constant deepening. People often use that expression, deepening their going for refuge. And sometimes I suspect it's become a bit hackneyed, this phrase. And sometimes people will say, well, I'm going to do this or going to do that because it'll help me deepen my going for refuge. But you have to ask yourself, well, is it really having that effect? Is what you propose to do really going to deepen your going for refuge? Is it really going to help you go, say, from provisional to effective, from effective to real? Will it really have that effect? Or are you just using that language as a sort of excuse, a rationalization for doing something that you just want to do? So, this is our second distinctive emphasis in the FWBO. Emphasis on the centrality of the act of going for refuge, especially as represented by these four or five different levels. And it's because we see the act of going for refuge as central that when we look upon this vast panorama of Buddhist teachings and practices, we have a principle on the basis of which we can make, so to speak, a selection. We can ask ourselves, well, will this traditional teaching, will this traditional practice help us deepen or advance are going for refuge? So this centrality of going for refuge is a bit like Mount Meru, as it were, in the traditional cosmological system. Don't know if you know about Mount Meru, but the ancient Buddhists and Hindus, they didn't know anything about modern geography. They believed that at the centre of the, well, centre of the world, so to speak, there was a great mountain called Mount Meru, and the whole universe was organized around that. The sun and the moon, they circumambulated that great peak on the top of which the gods had their abode. Yeah. So this principle of the centrality of the act of going for refuge, we might say, is the Mount Meru, huh, of the Western Buddhist order, of the FWBO. Everything revolves around that. That is absolutely central. That is the great soaring peak, as it were, to change the metaphor, to which we direct our eyes. All right, perhaps that's enough about our second distinctive characteristic or feature, the centrality of the act of going for refuge.